Welcome back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively into the holidays. It is my 30th anniversary in Baltimore radio. I wish it had a better outcome than perhaps we had on Sunday, but we're going to make our own outcome on Wednesday. We're going to be over Costas hanging out in the afternoon. I've gotten the word that John Martin from the Maryland Lottery, we're going to let ourselves play. Bill Cole said he's coming by. I got other friends stopping by. Todd Crandall, who wrestled with me a million years ago. But alas, it will be a bad news week here, and certainly the season sort of slipping in some sort of weird way, even though everyone else loses too. Luke Jones joins us now. I did not wake up early in Tremont, Luke, on Sunday. I did not go to Lucky's Cafe and overstuff myself with overstuffed French toast and do all the things that I usually do in Cleveland. I stayed back this time, and man, if not, theatrics in Cleveland and Baltimore and the rivalry and how it comes down, and now this weird injury to Lamar on a relatively sort of benign thing leaves everything in question to the point where, like, I'm watching Drew Brees on Sunday night after the games, like, saying the Ravens aren't going to make the playoffs and stuff like that. And I know around here we can't talk like that, right?
Well, I think you could certainly talk like that if the worst case scenario comes in and it's a high ankle sprain and Lamar Jackson is out indefinitely, then I think we are talking about that possibility. But to your point, when you look around the rest of the AFC and specifically with the AFC North, Cincinnati Bengals, second straight week, they had an opportunity to gain ground in the AFC North and they come up short. They lose to San Francisco in overtime, even after they had kicked the field goal to take the lead. So we've been saying this for quite some time. I mean, I've said this probably going back 5 or 6 weeks now, as we've seen the Ravens not look like that team that played against the Chargers back in week 6, where they were 5-1 and they boat raced a team that everyone thought was good. And you're thinking, here we go. I've said all along, the math has been in their favor, and that continues to be true in the AFC North. However, it's not as advantageous as it could have been, having lost to the Cleveland Browns. But I mean, let's face it, we can talk about the division. We can talk about this team trying to sneak into the playoffs. We can talk about how viable they are in terms of being a contender and where they stack up in an AFC that is kind of looking Kansas City and New England, if you believe in a rookie quarterback. I mean, everything else about that team looks good. But beyond that, it's a bunch of meh. And the Ravens now at 8-5, it feels more meh than championship-like, but certainly Lamar Jackson's ankle, the health of your franchise quarterback, even if he has been struggling over the last month, there's no question about that, but he's not going to be out there. With all due respect to Tyler Huntley, who played admirably, albeit two very critical fumbles that led to points in either direction, or took points off the board in one case, led to a touchdown for Cleveland. You don't have Lamar Jackson out there. I mean, I don't know what we're really talking about here, Nestor. Could they still win the division? Because I don't think Cincinnati, Cleveland, and Pittsburgh are very good. Sure. Do I think they're going to do anything, be relevant in January, which is what it's about at this point, to the point you made at the beginning of our discussion? No, I don't. So the Ravens are barely hanging on, but that grip is going to be determined by the health of Lamar Jackson's right ankle. And we'll find out what that's going to look like here over the next few days. And even beyond that, but depending on if he's going to try to play at less than 100% or whatever the ultimate diagnosis may be.
Well, because it's what we do around here and dissecting the game. And I mean, it wasn't much of a game. Then it turned into a game. Then it turned into decisions. And then it turned into Harbaugh analyticing this thing into a 2-score game when, Bill Cowher and all these guys after the game. And there's sense on both sides, and there's science on your side, the analytics side, but there's also the side of playing in a 1-score game psychologically is a whole different game. And you play the game differently. They play the game differently. It gets a little tighter at home in a lot of ways. I know you're going to make the analytic case for this because it's the nerd in you. It's who you are. And I guess it's who Harbaugh is at this point. But it's changed, certainly when the old school Bill Cowher guy says, I kicked the field goal. Especially we have the best. The difference, too, is they have the best. Their field goal is still automatic. Their extra points still. And it's not in any way. It's 50-50 in some places, it feels like. But go ahead. Give me the pushback on this, because I know you're going to take pro John on this, right?
I am, because I don't understand what makes it different about why you want to wait to go for two at the very end. You have to make one either way, right? Is there some inherent advantage you have that you're going to have a higher success rate when you do it at the end of the game? I mean, I'm asking, like, is there some magical...
I want to be in a one-score game where I have a chance to do that, not in a nine-point game.
Okay,
that's where I want to be.
But it's no good and you're down by two anyway. The outcome doesn't change whatsoever. If you have to convert a 2-point conversion, like you just Justin Tucker, who cares about Justin Tucker? You need more than two extra points. So the point is,
I feel like I'm the dumb guy in the bar. I mean, I really do, and that's fine. But I would have played it differently, right? And, last week I'd say I would do it differently, but I don't have all the information he has, right? Like that's why we go and ask questions afterward about no cornerbacks last week. But in this particular case, it's very easy to explain away because there's like a book for it now, right? Like literally.
I guess my point is, what's the advantage to keeping it? To delaying the 2-point conversion until the end? Like, are you more likely to make it at the end of the game rather than with 8 minutes to go?
I like to keep the morale of the troops high. And in a one-score game, the morale of the troops is different than I've got to go down there twice at the end.
But I just don't think – I think people say things that – we just say these things because we're used to – that's the way coaches have done it.
No, man, I read Moneyball. I'm good with that. I'm good with the analytics to the point where I know how effective it is, to the point where it's effectively driven me away because it's not interesting. This is a different thing. This is a different thing that it's an 8-point game, and there is a whole different energy level to an 8-point game than a 9-point game, especially when it's 4 minutes left and 2 minutes left. I like a game. So maybe it's the spectator in me. Maybe
was a game, though. They still had a chance. I mean, I'm just saying, it's the same exact outcome. They could have kicked an extra point, and then they score a touchdown.
We can argue through it, and if I open the phone lines now, we would like take phone calls and hear all sorts of cacophony of noise. Really do hear both sides of it. But I think it changes the game. That would be my answer to you, is when I'm looking up and seeing nine.
I mean, I guess, but you have to get a 2-point conversion. Like, this goes back to the same thing that we're talking about all the time when these coaches do these dumb things because they're worried about getting blown out rather than whatever chance they have left to actually win the game. They don't do it because they're so risk averse and they're so embarrassed of being blown out, or in this case, embarrassed of being down 9 as opposed to 7, where then you have a chance to tie the game with an extra point, or you could go for 2 and go for the win there. I'm just, no one has given me like what you're saying. And believe me, Bill Cowher and Boomer Esiason were going nuts about this. So guys that know way more.
Bill Cowher even says it's common sense. It's common sense.
but it's not though, because everyone keeps saying like, I don't understand why you just wait. To me, I've been trying to come up with the easiest analogy I could think of that would be like a real life situation. And to me, it's almost like you have an appointment. And you're trying to think, should you leave a little early to save yourself some time in case there's traffic or something like that? Where, hey, if there's bad traffic, you have time to take a detour, right? I mean, you can adjust your travel schedule. But if you leave right on time and you're hoping everything goes perfectly, what's your alternative if there's traffic or there's an accident? The point here is...
The point for me is whether it's a concert where I'm pissed that I missed the first song, or whether it's an airplane that I miss and it screws my life up. So it really does depend on, you know, how important it is that you get there. When you were a school teacher, you didn't want a whole bunch of kids in your school and you're late, right? Like, so I would say there are degrees in all of this. And I would say at that point, at that juncture in the game, the book to me is extend the game on my bench. On my bench, have everybody believe we're going to go down there, put the ball in, and force overtime, do what we have to do, because we have the best kicker. Let's make this an 8-point game. I want an 8-point game, not a 9-point game. Why is it so hard to understand to you nerds? Why?
Why is it
so hard
to understand?
You were math people, man.
Why are we waiting to do that for the end of the game?
I don't know. I really don't know. I mean, no,
I'm trying
about math than me tells me I'm not smart about this.
Because here's the thing. Okay, let's say they do kick the extra point and it's an 8-point game. are you then playing on that last drive and you're letting the clock drain and you're trying to score?
This isn't Strat-O-Matic. No, wait. But if you get down there with 2 seconds left to go in the game and you punch it in, chances are their defense is back on its heels. And again, we don't have Lamar, but Huntley played well. We'll get into all that.
On that, though, like to me, like everyone's saying about the momentum, you just had momentum because you scored a touchdown. Why wouldn't you try to go for two? Because you're going to have to do it. Like, we do this all the time with these scenarios. We always assume things are going to go perfectly at the very end of the game, right? I mean, this is the same thing like last week. Play for overtime because the Ravens are going to win the coin toss and they're going to march down the field, even though they hadn't moved down the field at all. Or they're going to lose the coin toss. And, you know, again, let's assume Humphrey doesn't
and
get
have
hurt.
No cornerbacks.
But right. I mean, so, but my point is we say these things.
Well, you saw what then, John did last week, right?
Right.
So that's, yeah.
Sure. But we say these things. And to be very clear, that was more of a situation neutral kind of thing. And look, I'm not saying that it's absolutely 1,000% terribly wrong to kick an extra point when you're down 15. But you have to get the two-point conversion one way or the other. So why would you not go for it sooner? And then you have more time left to overcome that mistake rather than if you just kick the extra point and then you're down 8, right? You go down the field. And guess what? If you're playing for the tie, then you're probably taking your time a little more rather than hurrying up when you're down 9. You score the touchdown. And then guess what? You don't get the two-point conversion and you might not even have any time to try an onside kick. So the whole point is you're trying to preserve, you're trying to get that information sooner rather as far as whether you make the two-point conversion or not. So I know we're thinking about it in terms of, oh, we want to have a better game at the end, but the analytics do support doing that earlier because then you can adjust. You can adjust your strategy at that point. Maybe your defense plays a little more aggressively. Maybe you play some cover zero trying to force a turnover or whatever it might be. Yeah, you're going to have to take chances. And yes, there's no question. If you don't get it, yeah, you're behind the eight ball down 9. But guess what? You still, if you kick the extra point there and then you score a touchdown, you're down 8, you need to go for 2. If you don't get it there, it's how's it any different? So again, to me, you want to have that. You want to plant. You're planning ahead. You're finding out if you're going to have that. If you're going to convert that 2-point conversion much earlier, and then you can try to adjust. Like I said, you're going to have to take some chances. Or in the Ravens' case, being down 9, they knew they had to score very, very quickly, and then they were going to try to kick the or try the onside kick. Or there was a scenario where they could have tried the long field goal with the thought of, we're going to try the onside kick then and score a touchdown. So they scored the touchdown, of course, though, got that quickly, and then they had an onside kick. But again, I keep feeling like people keep saying, well, just wait for the end. Do you have any better odds of making a 2-point conversion with 30 seconds left as opposed to 8 minutes left? I mean, I just don't
last
know
week
where...
would say no.
Well, and inherently, you just kind of made the point. Inherently, the problem is not the decision nearly as much as they got to score a 2-point conversion. I mean, they were going to have to score one either way, right? And the last two times they've done it, they've come up short. Now, can you make the argument then that they kicked the extra point and then save that for the end? I mean, I guess, but I just don't understand.
Well, John always likes going for two, and not just last week because of Lamar and because of the structure of the offense being down on a goal line where you have an extra running back where – Peyton Manning wasn't going to run it, theoretically, Tom Brady, maybe Sneaker, whatever. But it's a mobile quarterback there changes the helmet on helmet in tight space to advantage purple in this case. So John loves the play, and now the league's coming around on how to crack down on it to some degree in a lot of ways. And now there's no Lamar, so we'll be talking about all that. Luke Jones is here. He will be in Owings Mills all week long. Whew, Packers coming in. We will be talking about that and Aaron Rodgers and all of that. But before I do, I want to talk about Liberty Pure Solutions. Back to sponsoring us. I have like hot water heater issues. I can never get hot enough in the winter. And I think those of you know, our radio station had well water. So I had Doug out talking about the safety of our water. So Doug Workman and his folks do a great job. Liberty Pure Solutions, 1-800-CLEAN-WATER. I'll be telling you more and more about them. Also, our newest sponsor, Nacho Mamas. Big shout out to Jackie and the late, great Scunny. I dropped off Luke. I know you've seen the baby beanie Ursay dummy That now is going to live permanently at Nacho Mama's in Towson, which I think is very appropriate because the original Bob Irsay dummy was at Nacho Mama's in Canton. So, and we're going to be doing the show at Nacho Mama's next month as well. Luke, you know, I want to give you as much oxygen, you know, on the game itself and on Lamar. But Lamar and Huntley and the way the offense is and the fact that they came back, they almost won, they had a chance. People fell asleep in the third quarter. They walked their dog. They raked their leaves. They did things. And lo and behold, they're in a game again to the point where if I were in Cleveland and had to ask John to, in the angst, in the aftermath, explain ideology on, you know, two-pointers again, and he did give a little mini meeting on that afterward, but you know, for the afternoon and for the excitement and for where they are and for the injuries, it's sort of stunning they had a chance to win, that I could even feign being pissed at John or ask the tough questions, you know, put the hat on and be Oscar Madison in the aftermath and second guess it away. And I love how somebody in the room said, John, I'm not second guessing you. John, I'm second guessing you. You know, I mean, it's fine. I'm out in the open with that. And I think for all of that, it's incredible that they've maintained the ability to maybe be 10-3 right now in some weird way, right? Like they're a fingertip and they landed on a onside kick. I mean, they've had a lot of things go wrong, but they've also, this kid comes in and runs around and plays and is a bit of a gamer, right?
Yeah, and we talked about it. I mean, the injuries have gone all wrong. I mean, obviously, and we haven't even mentioned Calais Campbell leaves in the first quarter as well. So you have that. You have Lamar Jackson, which obviously is at the very top of the list, and their, you know, second place, maybe a distant second, is Marlon Humphrey, which we thought was the breaking point last week. But I thought Sunday, and this is where I will give John Harbaugh on this team a lot of credit. I thought Sunday told us a lot about both of these teams and kind of what they're all about. You have the Ravens, who are already decimated. I mean, they didn't have Patrick Ricard on Sunday. Jimmy Smith stayed back in Baltimore awaiting his new baby being born. Nick Boyle, we know how that's gone. Patrick McCary, we knew, hurt his hand, wasn't going to play on Sunday. So you just go down the list of guys that they're missing. But
it was almost like a spring game for the Orioles in Bradenton.
I made the analogy that it felt very last preseason game, like where one team elects to not play their starters and the other team is, you know, trying to get their starters some work. I mean, that's what it kind of felt like. But here you have the Ravens who, look, there's no moral victories. Let's be very clear about that. We understand that. But here you have the Ravens who are trailing 24-3, or you know, it's 24-6 at halftime. They could have absolutely packed it in. I mean, they make the announcement coming out of halftime. They're getting ready to kick off for the start of the second half. Lamar Jackson's out for the game. How many teams in that scenario are mailing it in at that point? And it's not even a Tyler Huntley or Lamar Jackson thing. It's the whole team. It's your franchise quarterback, guy who's the MVP 2 years ago.
Be honest, you were swallowing hard when Sam Cook's over there loosening up, although you and I love Sam.
I was almost the entertainment value because the game was so dreadful at that point. I was, you know, I didn't want to see anything happen to Huntley.
Dude, but I was about to tweet out, don't sleep on Sam. Sam will come in here and sling it. Sam's an athlete.
I was actually one of my good buddies, my best buddy who I had season tickets with way back when, right out of college, actually came over, was able to watch the first half with me. First of all, I offered him a cold adult beverage at first, and he declined. But then Lamar Jackson leaves the game, and
he got thirsty.
He got thirsty suddenly. But besides that, I mean, you're just in a position where this game, I mean, it was awful. And I mean, they had that first down on their first offensive play, and then they didn't have another one until the very final drive. I mean, everything about that said to just lay down, and everything for Cleveland said, hey, go out and bury this team and build some confidence. And the Browns did everything. I don't want to say everything they could, but they did more than enough to leave the Ravens in the game. And the Ravens did enough to keep themselves in the game. Now, I'll tell you something that I didn't like, that I would actually take John Harbaugh a little more task on, was how they handled the end of the first half. The Ravens are backed up in their own territory. And I get it. They had all three timeouts, but they had struggled. They had one first down at that point in time until they finally got a first down there. But that, you know, of course, Myles Garrett gets the strip sack, picks it up, returns it for a touchdown. And it could have been a 17-3 game if you play that conservatively. And at that point, You get Tyler Huntley into the locker room and you're saying, all right, here's what we're going to work on second half. This is what, tell us the plays you feel best about.
Go ahead and score a touchdown. We're right back in the game, right?
But, you know, they give up the touchdowns, 24-3. They did get the field goal, but it's an 18-point game at halftime. I had more of a problem with that if you want to debate and say, maybe you play conservative there rather than, and especially knowing that you're going to receive the second half kickoff. But, you know, they fought and they battled. And I think it's just a reminder of the resolve of this football team. Once again, even without Lamar Jackson, where they fought back. And I think as much as that's not going to get you to a Super Bowl, and as much as it feels like those championship aspirations are getting further and further away, and certainly if Lamar has a high ankle sprain, is going to miss multiple games here, you're wondering if they can even get in, let alone what condition he's going to be in to try to play, try to lead you when he wasn't playing well before the injury. But when you look at this division, again, the juxtaposition of looking at how the Ravens handled being down compared to how the Browns handled being successful, how they handled being ahead. We saw what happened with Pittsburgh on Thursday night where, all right, they came back, but that was just an absolutely dreadful first half against the Minnesota Vikings. And probably our latest reminder that being the Thursday night road team is a big disadvantage, as the Ravens would tell you going to Miami. And then the Bengals. I mean, the Bengals, these last 2 weeks, playing at home in both cases. And look, I think the Chargers and the 49ers have elements of their team that are good, certainly. And I don't want to say they're bad teams. But if you're the Cincinnati Bengals, you got to win those games. And they had a chance. I mean, my goodness, think about it. They could be a game up on the Ravens right now in the division if they take care of business in their home stadium. And they didn't. So it really does tell you, as decimated as the Ravens are, as hopeless as it's beginning to feel in the context of not making the playoffs, but in terms of feeling good about their ability to do anything memorable in the playoffs, that's not feeling good right now, to state the obvious, even if Lamar Jackson's able to come back sooner than later. But it does speak a lot to this division and just how unremarkable it is. Don't get me wrong, it's maybe not as terrible as the NFC East last year, where everyone has a losing record and Washington somehow playing in a wild card game in the first round, but it's not a good division. It's just not. I mean, the Ravens with their injuries.
It was supposed to be the best, right? And it's the most interesting, but
it's just
like,
not right. It's just not very good. I mean, it's not awful, but it's just very meh. But that said, and again, a credit to John Harbaugh, the coaching staff, and the players that are continuing to fight their you-know-whats off every single week, they're still in first place. And I don't want to say that, you know, that's good enough, but reality is where they are right now with their injuries. And again, now talking about your franchise, his status being unknown here as you get into the final 4 weeks and knowing that, you know, you've got a tough final four games remaining, but they're in first place and the math is still, you know, not incredibly in their favor, but it's still in their favor as it relates to the division, but they're holding on. But as I said, the health of Lamar Jackson's ankle is going to really determine how strong that grip is going to be able to be here over these last few weeks. But again, no one's running away with it. And even the whole division or even the whole conference, it's weird. We're almost reverting to where we were at the beginning, where you thought it was Kansas City. And well, the Chiefs are jockeying. New England's looked really good. But again, do you trust them with a rookie quarterback? But everyone else, I don't know. I mean, which week is it? Tell me what happens next week and we'll try to draw conclusions. But certainly the Ravens, it's a tough day on Sunday, despite an admirable fight with Tyler Huntley doing the things that he did late.
I thought the Chargers would dress nice in their they kind of remind me of comic book heroes when they wear those blues, don't they? Sort of, yes?
Yeah. Hey, I mean, and they look really good at times, and other times you look at them and shake your head. That's the AFC this year, right?
I was shaking my head at the Bengals and the Bills before the day was over on Sunday night as well. He is Luke Jones. You can follow him out in Owings Mills, out at Baltimore Luke. And, of course, all of it brought to you by Royal Farms. Real fresh, real fast. Man, I've taken – my sponsors have been so awesome the last couple of weeks. We were out at the Chaucer last week. I had leftovers during the game. I stopped at we were at the Beaumont. I stopped at the Chaucer to get tuna tostadas, and I brought those home and ate those during the game as well. I was at Pizza John's last week. And, Luke, I know you're not going to like this, but I had – It's my own creation. Pepperoni, imported ham, and pineapple. Don't go to sleep. I'm telling you, it's better than you think it is. I want to start a new thing for folks at Pizza John's down in Essex. So big appreciation to all of our sponsors, including our newest sponsors at Liberty Pure Solutions, as well as Nacho Mamas. We have our Wise Conversations heading out. I got the Wise Eggnog Ice Cream. I got Peppermint Stick. I'm complete for the holidays at this point. Maybe a victory over the Packers would help me out a little bit. But Luke and I will continue to talk all things Ravens football. You will hear our pursuits at the Beaumont in Catonsville last week with Don Moeller. A great guest, including Pete Carangi. My Pop Warner quarterback, James Thomas, stopped out. He's assistant coach over at CCBC Catonsville for the ladies program over there. So that was part of the stop. We also had a chat with Pastor Jacobson from Catonsville United Methodist Church about spirituality and God and the holidays and shopping and the supply chain problems and all those other things, as well as the Chamber of Commerce over in Catonsville. I can assure you there is no shortage of chicken and waffles at State Fair, but there is a dispute right now over the raspberry jalapeno sauce being on the menu versus the honey bourbon sauce. I think I'm going to go with like a secret menu, like go animal style over there at State Fair. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, willing to talk about anything other than Lamar Jackson being hurt. Stay with us.